Last week in episode one, this is one thing we learned. It's time to get out of slavery living. It's time to get out of slavery living. Some things happen to you and you're forced to live a certain way. You're a kid, you're forced to live a certain way. But there comes a time you got to get healed up and grow past that certain way that you grew up in. That's slavery living. And we want to blame that all the time instead of grow through that. But there comes a time you got to stand up, right? And we're learning this. It's time to get out of slavery living. We also learn it's time to get out of dysfunctional mindsets and patterns. Anybody learning that? Learning that. Sometimes old stuff, you know, that stuff you thought you finally got free from. Anybody get free from something? Yeah, shout it out. No, don't do that. Just kidding. No, don't do that. Don't do that. What? That's not this kind of show. Old stuff that you thought you were finally free from. Say that stuff. That stuff will try to get you back. We learn that. It'll try to get you back. I'm free from Egypt. It'll creep up after you. It'll run after you. It'll charge after you, especially once you make a decision. I'm walking out of this. I'm not doing this no more. I said I'm not doing it. I'm going. And I mean it. And you start trucking, and that thing starts going. Where are you going? That stuff wants you back. We learned a third thing. We got to rely on God. That's a continuous lesson. Say boom, boom. It's a continuous lesson. They're learning it. You learned it. You're going to learn it. You will learn it. You're in the midst of learning it. Right? Say they. They, we learn this, they are complainers. Say they. So buckle up. The series. Ever watch a series and it gets intense? You like to watch it. Some of the series, like, you watch. Man, that would scare me. I can't watch it at night. You talking about some killers putting pieces together? I don't want none of that at night. I want to be like, ooh, that was a great dunk. I don't, you know, some, and then they're like, it's intense. And you're like going like this in your covers, watching your intense series. Right? Come on. I know. I have your Google Play. But some series are intense. This one's going to be intense. Look at your neighbor. Say, relax. Look at your other neighbor. Say, but buckle up. Mm-hmm. Also, if you get offended easy, remember, relax. I did not write it. Relax. I wrote none of the word. I'm just going to share it. Okay? So you can relax. So we left off with Egypt's army being decimated, crushed like a bug, and Israel's completely free now. Is it completely free? All right. Deep Roots, Season 3, Episode 2, Exodus 14:31. When Israel saw the great power which the Lord had used against the Egyptians, they feared the Lord. Say, no, duh. Ever have that? Back in the day, it was a thing. No, duh. Someone told you something you knew was absolutely, like, you shouldn't have to tell me that. The obvious answer was no, duh. Right? Do you know your wife is beautiful? No, duh. Right? Jesus is Lord? No, duh. It's a no-duh situation here. They feared the Lord. Yeah, they just saw the mightiest nation in Israel. They were in the world, enslaved Israel, crushed like a bug, waters of the sea smashed, plague. They just watched so many things, and they began to fear the Lord. That's to say respect. They feared the Lord. This truth was to be written down over and over and over again, woven into the word, this very truth. We're going to read a common one. I'm going to jump out of Exodus for a second. Let's go to Psalm 11, 111, 10. Good, good, good. The reverent, this is on like a lot of refrigerators, magnets. So you recognize it. The reverent fear of the Lord is the beginning. Say beginning. It's the fear of the Lord is the beginning, the prerequisite, the absolute essential, the alphabet of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord, we don't fear the Lord a lot of times. A good understanding and a teachable heart. So yeah, teachable heart. It's one reason why some musicians never stay. Their hearts aren't teachable. A teachable heart. Everybody with a teachable heart, possessed by all those who do. Say who do. Who do the will of the Lord. His praise endures forever. Say, God desires proper respect. God desires proper respect. It says they feared the Lord with reverence and awe-filled respect. R-E-S-P-E-C-T. Right? Find out what it means to me. R-E-S-P-E-C-T. Right? Come on. You guys know, even the young people go, I know what he saw. This is a commercial for like some drug. No, it was a song. It's okay. Say respect. Now, when I hear the word respect, I have to filter it because I hear it like this. Respect. That's how I hear it. Show some respect. It comes from a deep place in someone's chest. He's about this tall and he smokes 58 cigars a day. It's respect, you know. That's how I hear it. Respect. Respect, when I was a kid growing up, was taught. A healthy thing to be aware of and people to honor was taught. Especially in the Italian Catholic family that I lived in. Respect, there are all sorts of different types of respect. And you learn them all, capiche? You learn them all. You had to learn them all. Okay. We learned respect the clergy most of the time. We learned to respect women almost always. We learned to respect the elderly almost always. We learned to respect the police most of the time. Yeah, it was a blurry line for me then. But we always respect, though, always, we're always taught to respect the family heads and other Italian relationships. You must respect them. Got it. I have time today, and Dr. Heidi is not here. I will agree that this story probably should be muted over the airwaves. I will try to change the names to protect me and other people. But it's about showing some respect. And I almost learned something the hard way. Anybody ever learned something the hard way? Like it was the hard way? Do you want to relearn that? Have you relearned hard things before? You said you never wanted to relearn again? Uh-huh. There's certain things you don't want to learn the hard way, and you definitely don't want to learn it twice. I'm going to tell you a story, and I'm grateful for God for protecting me and keeping me safe during that season of my life. And I'm thankful for, we'll call him Mr. Colleone. His name has changed to protect the innocent. I'm grateful for mercy and grace during that season, but there is a guy, a family, that owned many hotel chains in upstate New York, and that chain is popular all over the world, maybe one of the most popular chains in the world. If I said a hotel name, you probably would throw this one out there. And he owned a lot of them, and he was a little guy that smoked 58 cigars a day and talked like respect, you know. We'll call him Mr. Corleone. Angelo Corleone. And one day, as a smart aleck senior in high school, didn't know Jesus, and definitely was under the drinking age at the time, I thought, we'll go up to one of these random hotels, and me and my buddies, I will get us through the door to the exclusive bar and get free drinks underage. But that so-and-so hotel, I know, I'm going to use it to my advantage. My friends are like, dude, are you sure about this? So I walked into the head guy, was checking the door, you know, on those gorillas. And I said the guy's last name that owns that, and I go, we're family. And the guy goes, oh, you can come in. Respect. They showed that name respect. I was using that name. I'm about to learn a lesson. So we're at the bar, and the bartender goes, he looks at us with those like, you ain't supposed to be here. And he said, what'll it be, fellas? I said, well, can we get one on the house? Because my buddy, and I threw my buddy under the desk, my buddy Dom is, and I gave that last name. This is Dom Corleone. This is young Dom Corleone. Yeah, so don't you want to get him a shot? And the guy's like, uh-huh. And we're living large for about 20 minutes. Uh-huh. It's an experience I'm never going to forget. And my parents and their parents would never let us forget it. And they enforced it when we got home. Mr. Corleone, was actually over there in the corner, and we didn't see him. Yeah. And he got up. Literally, he got up, and he couldn't barely tell he got up because he was a tiny fella. He got, because I couldn't see him. And so he's like at a back table, it's dark, like where Kesey's sitting, you know, like dark. I didn't know he's back there, you know, and all of a sudden he stands up, and boop, he's about this tall, you know. And he walks over with a cigar in his mouth, hanging out, you know, the ashes dripping on the floor, and people behind him sweeping up. Mr. Corleone is walking across the room, and we see him, and all of us go, I thought he was a legend. He didn't exist. It's like Santa Claus, you know. And he came over, and he said, kid, I admire your moxie. Aha, okay. And he said, put another one on for him. I go, okay. Things are going okay. They're going okay. They're not going okay. And then he started to say, don't ever use my name again. If you're not real family, people lose fingers, stuff, accidentally. All the time. And just when I thought he might teach me a lesson, I could feel my friends, I could feel them sweating. Ever feel next to your friend, you're in trouble, and you can feel your friend sweating? I could feel Dom going, do I use my name? You use Dom Corleone. I know he's going to get me later. Right? He's just sweats rolling down. And I'm thinking I may lose a finger. Thank you, Lord, that I did not. And I realized I didn't show proper respect. And there's a lesson sometimes for that. And then out of my bootstraps, just when I felt like I could feel like the goons from the back walking towards us, and that's never good, you know, like they're coming. And it wasn't the kind of thing like, we'll fight our way out. Where are you going to go when you do? Where are you going to run? Not from Mr. Corleone. So, I'm getting there, taking a deep breath, going, I hope I get to choose the finger. You know? And I go, I've been on your boat before, which was true, and it wasn't illegal. He had this giant boat named after his wife on the lake. It looked like this, it was a giant boat. But I had a girl that was a friend that had invited me on the boat because her dad knew Mr. Corleone. So I got on the boat and I said, I love the boat. I'm sweating, Mark. I'm like, I'm in trouble. You know, I'm pulling up. He's like, you've been on the... He said, oh, you know Mr. Clune? I said, I know Mr. Clune. He's a good man. Good man. Listen, kid. I want this to be a lesson to you today. Don't you ever, ever think you can get away with that again. Do you understand? Yeah. He goes, I love your moxie, but it could get you in trouble. And I walked away with some newfound respect. It seems like, how does that relate to the sermon today? Some lessons, if you don't learn them quick, consequences get harder. Some lessons, you don't learn them quick, consequences get harder, right? Yeah, it seems like they, say God's people, they may have learned a proper respect. They learned, they saw Egypt get pummeled, right? They were confessing a healthy respect for God, a respect for God and for Moses. Deep roots. Man, we had Abraham, though. Remember, Abraham was the friend of God. This goes back to season one. And he called him the friend of God. But even the friend of God had a title for his friend. And it wasn't bro. It was Mighty God of Israel. Right? So his friend even had a respect. And the Israelites learned something about God, that he can do stuff. Like God can do stuff. Like he does stuff. And they learned that if he says he's going to do it, what's he do? Does it. And they're learning a proper respect. So that's good for them. It's good that they did that. Yeah. And it says they believe the Lord and his servant Moses. Cool. I bet you everything is perfect then from now on. Completely delivered from Egypt. They totally said, God, we totally respect you. Right? Guess what? Tests are coming. And how many know this, honestly? This is where we need grace. You won't pass all the tests every time. You're not Jesus. Only he passed every test every time. So some of you need to give some grace to yourself a little bit. You're not going to pass every test all the time, but there's some things that you got to stop taking that same darn test over and over again, because the consequences are going to keep mounting and mounting, and you might be fingerless, so to speak. I'm just saying, say, oh, them. Oh, them. They are learning. They're learning to get out of Egypt and get Egypt out of them. They're learning to grow in trust. They're learning from their own past. They're learning from their own past. And they're learning from other people's past, right? Say, these are big old keys. Yeah, these are big old keys. I'm the church now. So in Exodus chapter 15, 1 through 19, there's this giant song. I don't have the whole thing. Don't worry about it. It's a hit song of its day. Right? It made the Holy Scriptures chart of top songs. You ready? They sang this song right after they got on dry, right after deliverance, right after like free, right? They got over there and they went, dude, I got a song. Let's do it. You know? They were just in. And so after complete deliverance, they had this song. And how many know after a complete deliverance, there can be an expectation to act perfect? You've been completely delivered. Why aren't they perfect? Are you perfect after you were completely delivered? How about even now? No, still not perfect? Good. Say grace. In transition. All right, they're both necessary. I got a picture. I looked up these words. Weary, angry traveler, and I got this one. I had two pictures. No, not that one yet. Well, no, keep that one. Yeah, keep that one. I love it. It's hard to free fools from their chains they revere. You can try to free the slave, but the slave loves slavery. And that's all they've ever known. They just want to keep going back to slavery. It's hard to free a fool. That's a long time ago. Like that's not pop culture. That's Voltaire. You know? He was kind of a notorious gangster against the denominational churches. Say they. They grew up a little bit, but how many know they may screw up again? Right after deliverance, man. But they came out singing. Ready? We're going to do a small slice of this song, but I want to talk about why did they sing. For one, he's worthy. Right, say he's worthy, right? He's worthy of the song. The church should praise him. Honestly, the front, I love it when it's filled. We should be praising for stuff in our life. Like you got up this morning, you're breathing, you got here, praise him. I'm not trying to be old school Pentecostal, praise him, dancing, to praise. I'm talking about praising him, though. Like Sunday morning is a great time to get lost, your voice and your hands to get lost in praising him. I am the worship team. That's a new shirt. That's a new shirt. And the second thing, they praise him because they're stoked. They got delivered. Ever come up against the wall and you think, man, I'm toast. Like, this is going to bury me. I can't afford this. How are we going to do this? And God comes in and does a miracle and you're like, woo, I want to sing, right? That's where they are. The third thing is, sometimes if you begin to sing something enough, you begin to learn it. You sing something enough, you begin to learn it. Learn it in a way that you'll never forget it. Ever get a song stuck in your head? And you remember those words, word for word. You've not heard it in 20 years, right? I'm going to test you. You ready for a test? Dr. Heidi's not here. I'm going to get away with this. You ready? I'm going to sing part of a song, and you're going to finish it. It's like, how? You didn't know we even know it. Some of you are going to know it. Some of you aren't. But I bet you there's a majority that may. And it's old. It's called American Pie. You ready? I'm going to sing the first part, and you're going to end it. But you can sing with me if you know the whole thing. Bye, bye, Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the... Boom! It's in your head. You knew that? Okay, see ya! All right, how about this one? This one I go, I definitely don't know anything by these people. I was convinced till I saw the lyrics. I went, darn it. Ace of Base. I didn't think it related. Here we go. Sing along. Definitely finish it. Life is so demanding without understanding. I saw the signs. I opened up my eyes and we all know an Ace of Base song. It's embarrassing. How about the song Kryptonite? Anybody? Anybody? Oh, here we go. It's some guy music. This is hitting the heavy bag music for me. Ready? Well, I walk around to ease my troubled mind. I left my body lying somewhere in the sands of time. If I go crazy, will you still call me? You guys are heathen. Okay, I got one more. One more because you better move on, you know. Marley. One love, one heart, let's get together and... See? Stuff gets in your head, and you learn it. And that shows you how powerful lyrics can be, right? Music is powerful. So here's a slice of that song. You ready? This is what they sang, kept it in the Word of God. Exodus 15, 1 through 5. Then Moses and the children of Israel sang this song to the Lord, singing, I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength. Say my strength. The Lord is my song, and he has become my salvation. This is my God. Whew. They're so stoked, you know. This is my God, and I will praise him. My Father is God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a warrior. I can see the guys going, it's like a Samoan song to me. They're, oh, you know, I don't know why. The Lord is a warrior. I didn't grow up with general Christianity. I had Apostle John. He did. Yeah, encouragement didn't come to you. Served him for 20 years. And then he might say, you didn't screw up. Thank you. But I learned about warrior, about not complaining. The Lord is his name. And then they kept on singing. Pharaoh's chariots and his armies were thrown into the sea, and his chosen captains were drowned in the Red Sea. The deep waters covered them. Clad in armor, they sank in the depth like a stone. I don't know. I just paused it there. You're not going to get more. There's more. Amanda would say, go read it for yourself if you want to know. She just said, go read it yourself, man. I wasn't there, so, but it sounds to me like rapper's revenge music, like some trash talking, like, you know, or some rider were thrown into the sea. You sank into the depths. You try to bust with me, you know, like they're just hitting it, you know. Yeah. But, you know, I wasn't there for the tone. I wasn't there for the tone of the tune. And as a professional counselor, I have to say this. Tone means everything. Anybody married? Say, tone means everything. Right, I'll skip through that. The rest of the song, as Panda says, you can read. But they sang. They were committed to respect. Respect God and his servant Moses. They're committed to a new life. Centered completely on God. Isn't that just like us when we come to Jesus? We made a commitment to center our life completely on God and his ways. That's what they're doing. Exodus 15, 22. Then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went down to the wilderness of Shur. They went a distance of 3 days, about 33 miles in 3 days. You know, some of their campouts or walkabouts took years. Like you read it and you go, when they went to this place, like that's like a six-month walk, you know? Some of their campouts took longer than they thought, but so do ours, don't they? Yeah, yeah. It says, they were led into the wilderness and found no water. Here's my pictures, Joe. I looked up angry, weary travelers. There's one. That's one. Yeah. Imagine you get to the top of the mountain. You walked for, like, you got up at 2 a.m. You walked. You finally wanted to get all the way up to the top of the mountain. It took about 7 hours, you get up there, and you go, oh, no, my water bottle's gone. I got another seven-hour hike. You might look like that. Like, oh, sadness. But then I continued. I said, I want something different. I want angry, worn-out traveler. What else you got, Google? This is what they gave me. Airport. So perfect. I got to go there tonight and pick up Dr. Heidi and Kirsten. That is an angry place. Phoenix is angry. The airport's angry. I said, got to put that in. You know, I get it. Exodus 15, 23 through 25. So they had no water, led into the wilderness, or had no water. Then they came to Marah. And it says they could not drink its waters. So there was no water, but they came to this place and said, we can't drink this water. Why? Because it was bitter. And check this out. It's not like they're mad at anything, but I'm just going to say. Therefore, it was named Marah, which means bitter. They mad. They came across this one, they go, they cussed at it. You're bitter. Whatever the Hebrew word was for, you bitter. Right? Like, that's what they called it. It's not like Mara. It's like, you bitter. Like, oh, we wanted water. I expected water. I've been hiking and following you, God, and I expected the refreshing, and there was no refreshing here. And then you led us over here, and we can't even drink this stuff. How do I know they're that way? Say the people. The people grew discontented and grumbled at Moses. The people grew discontented and grumbled at Moses. Say, oh, them. Grumbled at Moses saying, what are we going to drink? Huh? What are we going to drink? Then he, Moses, cried to the Lord for help. That's a great leader. Say that. That's a great leader. Because people want you to make decisions all the time, right then and there. And if you're a leader of God, you better find God's answer before you give an answer. It's not easy to do when people are grumbling and complaining and fussing because they're tired and thirsty and grumpy. He's one of the best leaders of all time. Then he cried to the Lord for help, and the Lord showed him a tree, a branch of which he threw into the waters, and the waters became sweet. That's a miracle. That's crazy, right? The Lord made a statute and an ordinance for them. And there he tested them. Say, there he tested them. This is tough, but you ever really been tempted?
I mean, really.
I'm not talking something you gave up a long time ago that hasn't chased you down. I was tempted back in the day. I'm talking like something maybe this week that you know you wish you wanted it. But it wasn't yours. Or the Lord has told you not yet, but I want it now. I'm Veruca Salt, Willy Wonka, but I want it now. Right? Or the Lord said, not till you do this. Ever have that in your life? Like, ever been really tempted? I'm talking like, not like, you can't tempt me with pizza anymore. You used to be able to, but since it made me so sick, I can't do it anymore. I miss you, pizza. Goodbye. But you brought a Swiss roll up in here, and I'm real hungry. I'm trying to get rid of sugar slowly this week. Get away, get thee behind me, Swiss roll. Right. Ever read your Bible and they have these little bubbles? Ever touch the touch Bible? If you read your Bible and it's in an electronic, but there's little bubbles. It'll tell you what words mean and stuff. So I said, I wonder. There's a little bubble. That's the word test. So I tapped it. This is where I go. I'm gonna get some great wisdom. Because sometimes they're awesome. This is what it was. There should be a picture. God tests his people to see if they're learning from past experiences and growing into spiritual maturity. You still do that? God tests his people to see if they're learning from past experiences and growing in spiritual maturity. Exodus 15, 26 through 27. It says, there he tested them, saying, if you will diligently listen. Anybody have a hard time with diligently listening? Yeah. If you will diligently listen and pay attention, like not even listen, but just pay attention. There's lots of times I'm listening, but I'm not hearing anything. I'm thinking about 50 things in my head, or I'm watching the score. Yeah, I hear you, babe. Something about the key. How are we at diligently listening and paying attention? If you will diligently listen and pay attention to the voice of the Lord, your God, listen and pay attention and do what is right, right in his sight. Listen to his commands and keep actively obeying all his precepts and statutes. Then, say then, I will not put you on any of the diseases that came on the Egyptians. For I am the Lord who heals you. The more Egypt you get out of you, the more healthy you get. Ever notice that? The more dysfunction that's out of your life, the more unhealthy thing that's out of your life, you ever notice the healthier you get? He said, I'm the Lord who heals you. I'm trying to get that out of you. And I don't want to put those diseases on you. You can choose those diseases if you want. It says, then the children of Israel came to Elim. Elim, where there were 12 springs of water and 70 date palm trees. And they camped there besides the waters. It's so funny because right, this is what happens. No water here, and this water sucks. Oh, you fixed it? Great. No, we're marching again? Yeah. Now where are we going? What? Trust you completely? Yeah, we're going to trust you completely. You promise? Yeah, we promise. Just paraphrasing. As soon as God says that to them, they make this deal with God, let him be in charge. Even after they sang the song, right? They'd let him be in charge. You know what the name Elim means? Lots of water. And it had date palms. like there was an abundance just up the road. Just up the road, he had it planned, but you need to know where's your heart. I'm not going to give you all the good stuff unless you're willing to prove to me you're worth the good stuff right now. You know what the name Elim actually means? A place to strengthen. Sometimes you need to pull over in the desert to the place God has provision for you and strengthen up. Because it's a big journey out of us. There's a season coming up for the church that's going to be crazy. And so times of refreshing, take advantage of them. Don't run through times of refreshing. Don't be like, well, let's get out of here. No, no. When he makes a resting place, you better rest. He puts Elims in our life. Why? To strengthen us, right? So they went from Elim. They got out of Egypt that was corrupt in their souls. I want to go to Exodus 16, 2 through 3. Remember, they had this complaining problem. It was also part of the Egypt problem, right? God did crazy cool miracles and had impact on them, just like us. Has God done something for you before? Right, he's done something for you before. And then how many times, like when something else comes up, you start praying, God's going to do it, God's doing it. He doesn't do exactly what you want it to, or he doesn't even answer you about it yet. And you start getting a little fussy. Or maybe you start whining to the prayer chain. It was prayer before. Now I said, well, God, just show up. No one's ever been there. Come on, this is church. Been there? You can get fussy. You can get fussy. Exodus 16, 2 through 3. The whole congregation of Israel grew discontented and murmured and rebelled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the Israelites said to them, check this out. Word that we had died in the hand of the Lord in Egypt. Man, some people are so dramatic. You know anybody that's really dramatic? Like super dramatic. Everything's like, wow, the world's chicken little. Settle down. God keeps, oh, you don't know the troubles I've seen. That record's already been played. Say, oh, them. Egypt. Remember when we were Egypt, man? We sat by the pots of meat and ate bread until we were full. You were a slave. How, that rat meat good? You love that? You miss rat meat? Okay. For you have brought us out here, Moses. You have brought us out here. You, Moses, have brought us out here. Hold on. I didn't write it. Most, if I was Moses, like, hold on. Remember at the beginning of the sermon, I said I didn't write it. I'd be like, Moses, like, no, it was God. Remember, he did this. And you're like, oh, here's my God. We're going to follow him. You're awesome. Woo, we love you. We're all in. Remember? And you're like, yeah, he did it. He got us through here. And now you're going, Moses, you did this. I'd be like, you better back up. I got a stick, you know. He says, you have brought us out into the wilderness to kill this entire assembly with hunger. Say, oh, please. Everyone notice that God's people are kind of fickle in their relationship with God? Everybody notice that? Say them. Just them. They forget stuff, right? They forget about their deliverance. They forget they had a problem. But now there's this complaining issue that's going to have to be worked out of them. It's not a, like, quick fix, smash Egypt, done. I think maybe next week I may pick up there. But what if they use that same energy that they complained about and they used it to calm down and listen? Just take a minute to listen. Pastor Justin's going to do communion, and then I'm going to open up for some time, just some worship. And I hope you get your heart ready for communion. But I don't think God's finished doing what he wanted to do today. I think this door, communion, opens up an opportunity to meet with him how you need to meet with him today. I think he wants to do something special and start you in a new frame of walking like you haven't walked before. He wants to get you out of some Egypts. He wants to get out of some places you've been camping at. He wants to get some Egypts out of you. I think it starts today.
I have a couple verses I want to read real quick. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. They were continually and faithfully devoting themselves to the instruction of the apostles and to fellowship, to the eating of the meal together, i.e. the little bubbles, breaking of bread together, and to prayer. That's Acts 2:42. And Acts 20, verse 7 reads, "Now on the first day of the week, Sunday, when they were gathered together to break bread, share communion, Paul began talking with them, intending to leave the next day, and he kept on with his message until midnight." These are, as we would call in the Bible nerd community, flyover verses, typically. Meaning that you wouldn't usually just stay there. You're just going to usually read on. But I think there's something important there. Those are the only other two places in Acts, the book, which is the actual Acts of the people who followed Jesus, followed the way right after Jesus left. All the rest of the books are teaching. Now, those verses don't seem very consequential, but that's because to the disciples, the act of communion was also not consequential like we have it here today. Communion was every Sunday, and it wasn't little cups, no, it wasn't little wafers, but it was the meal and the time they shared with one another every single Sunday, knowing that God was going to do something. In Acts chapter 2, if you go on, 43, 44, 45, was talking about they left that moment together and they were performing miracles with one another and seeing signs done. And they were taking care of the widow and the orphan and doing the things God said. And when they broke bread together, it was the encouraging of one another, the uplifting of one another, reminding of the teachings of what Jesus did. And then it was, okay, let's go back out and let's do the work. We come together, we have this meal, we encourage one another. Let's go out, let's do the work. Then Paul in Acts chapter 20 was talking with the people. They had communion, and then it said he went on talking until midnight. That's when Eutychus, which I didn't know his name means lucky. Eutychus means, yeah, he fell out the window. I was going to explain. But he fell out the window after Paul's long teaching him until midnight. He literally preached him to sleep, and he fell out a window. But then God brought him back to life. Like, it was no big deal to them. It was like, oh, Paul's like, I bored him to death, I guess, and now I'm going to bring him back to life by the power of Jesus. But as we prepare right now, come up and grab our elements together to come up. I'm not sure if I'm just going to lift the lids and lift the tissues, and we want to come up and start grabbing our elements together. But as we do that, I just want to say that as we go out from this moment together, let us remember that communion doesn't end with our little pieces of bread and our cups. That it's a lifestyle that we live with one another. Whenever we encourage one another, whenever we invite one another out, whenever we pray over one another, the breaking of the bread and the remembering what Jesus did is the centerpiece of our faith. But it is the centerpiece and the launching point of what God wants to do through us in community with one another and through Him. And once everybody gets this together, we're going to pray and we're going to take it together. So I'll give us a moment to gather. And church, I want to commend you all this morning as we prepare for communion. You did so well worshiping today. I'm so proud of everybody stepping up. This has been something that Pastor Sean has wanted to see happen for a while. And I think that it was important that it happened. And I was praying when we were having our huddle time, and I was praying as Pastor Sean was asking me to pray, maybe praying for what God wants to do for worship, be praying for what he wants to do on Sunday. I feel like he wants to have a breakthrough. And my prayer this morning and yesterday in preparation for this was, Lord, I pray that in the silence that will be created by no drums and no piano and no additional voices, that people would be ashamed of the silence. Not to carry the shame, but they would recognize it is me that is the worshiper, and he deserves the worship despite what instruments there are. And boy, did we hear that today. And I just want to let you know that God is proud of you. He is proud of your worship. He is in love with you. He is in love with the way that you stepped up to that challenge today. And I say, let us continue our worship now in communion, and let us continue our worship as we go out from today. So as we prepare right now to take the bread, to take the body, Lord, I thank you for what you did on the cross to make us whole, to bring us in unity with you, that accessing you spiritually can become even more tangible and physical, to know that you're there, Lord. And I thank you that we experience that in worship today, that you are wanted and you are welcomed and you are invited in this place. And I thank you that your body that brings us into complete wholeness through your sacrifice, we get to be in unity with you thanks to your sacrifice. Lord, I pray that we would not take it lightly, the commission. We would not take lightly communion with you, but we would not take lightly what you have asked us to do, what this is representing, that we would be in communion with one another and in communion with the world that's out there, not becoming part of the world, but having the world be transformed by your goodness and what you've done on the cross, Lord. So I pray that this would be a launching point to our week. As we take the bread, as we take the body, we would understand our role in the world, Lord, and we would go out and we would see you do good things through the world. So right now, take, eat the bread. All right, y'all who know me, whenever I get the mic, I can be emotional. This is a part that I might get a little bit. I'll try not to. But Lord, we thank you for the cup. We thank you that it represents a newfound purity. And Jesus, you said that we need to be born again if we're going to enter the kingdom. And when you said that at first, the men that you spoke that to were confused. You say, you can't get back into my mother's womb and be born again. But you said it was a spiritual rebirth that was made possible by bringing new purity through your blood. Bringing new innocence, Lord, that we never thought was possible. Today, while we were worshiping, it was an amazing moment for me, Lord. I was holding my daughter, and because the music was quiet enough that she could hear me worship, my daughter was holding me in her arms, and she just worshiped. I heard her soft little voice in my ear. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Lord, whether she fully understands what that means or not, she was welcoming you here. And I just heard her whisper, I love you, Jesus, while she was in my arms. That purity, that innocence, that's welcoming you in, Lord. Lord, I pray that any person who feels that their innocence is lost, or any person who was excited to find a newfound innocence through you, Lord, I pray that we would remember what you did on the cross, that you purified us, you made us innocent, you made us whole, you made it so we can come before you without shame, without guilt, knowing that we can put it all on you, and in exchange, you take it and make us whole, and that was through your blood, and that was through your sacrifice. That we can preach that to those around us. But Lord, I pray that as we prepare to take the cup, we would remember what you did, what your blood purified, and we would preach that good news to those around us this week, Lord. In Jesus' name, take the cup. We thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in this house. We thank you for the opportunity to take communion with you. In your name we pray. Amen.
want to give you an opportunity yet. This is, I would be a terrible doctor. You know, you'd come in the ER with a bleeding, cut up, deep gash, broken forearm, and I'd be like, I'll just wrap some duct tape on you. Do you recognize you got a boo-boo? Yeah, well, let me just wrap this up. You can see a specialist. But sometimes you need to linger and clean those wounds out. And I believe we are the church in transition. I don't know what kind of Egypt's been chasing you. I don't know what kind of no water you've had. I don't know what kind of bitterness has tried to keep you. But I believe today God would like to heal that. But like Pastor Justin said, it takes an individual heart, not a pastoral prayer. It takes an individual. It takes an individual to cry out to God for their healing, forgiveness, to be set free, to be in the right place. If you know this is your season and there's something keeping you from everything you know God wants for you, I recommend you stand up again and just spend a minute or two in one of these songs and don't worry about the person next to you. This is kind of like abide right now. New season Sunday service is over and we're just kind of like we do an abide. I want to play some music and have you get alone with God for a second and ask him. Ask him what he wants to heal and what he wants from you during this season and then give it to him. If you need someone to lay hands on you, Pastor Jody and I are going to be up front. Pastor Justin will be available. But I'm going to ask you to block out the world for five more minutes. I'm letting you out early, even at that. Block out the world for 5 or 10 more minutes and see if God doesn't want to speak to individuals, right? Because this is your season. Thank you, Father. Authentic relationships, Father, this season. We really know who you are. We really give you what you want. Father, we would be your church, unafraid to follow you wherever you go. And our hearts would not be fussy, Lord God. We'd be empty of ourselves, Father. We'd be empty of ourselves. The technology, Father, is broken today, but we're not broken. We're in the process of being healed, Lord. So let us take your healing. I am the God that heals thee. I want to remove bitterness from your life. Father, you take us, the freshwater church, back out, Father, into these outside these walls this week and bring you, authentic Jesus, to people. Say, I am the church. It's my season.